You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB. For most, the harvest supper is one of the farming calendar's highlights and a time for stories and a general catch-up for everyone with a part to play in the rural community. This year, one of the big topics being discussed, I'm sure, is the ending of the basic payment scheme, which starts its rundown from December. The government has embarked upon an enormous reform of the BPS scheme. The demise is referred to as the biggest agricultural policy shift since the end of the Second World War. At this point, it would be easy to concentrate on the negatives, but AHDB's job is to help levy payers navigate complicated issues and present evidence and facts for farmers and growers to consider and adopt in the best way possible for their individual circumstances and their business needs. That's exactly what's happened. And to tell us about the work that AHDB has recently been undertaking is Derek Carless. Derek, thanks for coming back onto the podcast again. The context for this chat is the current subsidies, and they will have been completely withdrawn by the end of 2027. And so farmers are required to take some action to get through the transition and judge whether their reductions in payments will negatively impact their business, or perhaps they can judge how their farm is performing. They can even judge whether, in fact, the farm is fit for the future at all. So I gather that AHDB can help give the answers that are needed, and it's all courtesy of a business assessment paid for by the Farming Resilience Fund. So that's a good place to start. This is something that's paid for by somebody else. So Derek, tell us what's on offer.
Hello, John. Yes, thank you very much. You're absolutely right. The backdrop for this is the reduction in BPS, which starts this December. And you're right, by the end of 2027, that the final payments will have been made. So I guess on the one hand, the good news for industry is that there's quite a long withdrawal period, quite a long transition period for farms and industry to get used to this reducing subsidy, this reducing payment. On the other hand, those years will go quite quickly. And I think the best thing is for farmers to have a think about the impact on their own farms as soon as they're in a position to do so. And you're right, AHDB have secured funding to help farmers with this, farmers across England, beef, sheep, dairy or arable farmers, to look at this in a little bit of detail from now and over the winter period through to February, just to start to get a handle on what the impact will be on their businesses of that withdrawal.
So is this for every farmer, Derek? Is there a scale issue here, or is it literally for every levy payer?
No scale issue at all. So small and large alike, as I mentioned, the only qualifying criteria for this particular scheme is that the farm business needs to be located in England and it needs to be a recipient of BPS payments.
So a consultation takes place is what I understand is the system. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, of course. So what we've done is we've put together a program with partner consultants and others across industry to work with individual farmers on a one-to-one basis based around a half day's input. The base tool that we use for this is our farm business review tool, which listeners to the podcast may have come across before if they've been perusing AHDB's website. But in effect, what this tool does, it enables farmers and the consultant that they will be paired with to take a look at the basic data available on farm, look at the BPS payment, see what the reductions will actually be over the course of the next few years, and then also to start to look at some of the other areas of the business, technical performance of beef, sheep, dairy or arable enterprises, and also financial performance. So is the farm profitable as it is? Are the individual enterprises profitable in their own right, with or without the BPS payments? So there's a small data gathering piece related to this, but the main bit and the important bit that will provide the benefit to farmers is that one-to-one conversation with the consultant or advisor that they're paired with, which actually goes through the data, looks at what it says about that business, and then in conversation with the consultant, the farmer is left with really practical actions that they can take away, think about and apply to the business, which will make a difference.
Okay, so we've actually got someone who can share their story about working with a consultant. Peter Shawcross joins us now from his farm in Wiltshire. Hi, Peter. Thanks for sparing the time to come on the podcast.
Good morning.
Morning. Tell us a little bit about your farm first.
Well, I'm a dairy and arable farmer in South Wiltshire. Farm about 300 hectares. I have been a sheep farmer and a pig farmer in the past, but the farm has got slightly smaller. And so I mainly just concentrate on the dairy and the neighbour does the arable for me.
Now, obviously, the big topic on everybody's lips is the fact that BPS is going to be coming to a sort of a grinding halt with a rundown starting in December this year. But tell us from your point of view, why did you take part in the Farm Business Review?
Well, I was phoned up by Sarah Hereford of AHDB, who explained a little about the Resilience Fund, and I booked a visit from there. I had been vaguely aware of it from a couple of adverts, but I had ignored them. So it was very good in my case to be phoned up.
Okay, so that was a great prompt. What did you have to do from there?
Well, I booked the visit, and Sarah came a week later. She looked around the farm for about 2 hours. And then we sat in the office and went through the online tools, particularly the resilience assessment and the KPI Express, which measures the key performance indicators.
Okay, now farmers are busy people. They've got plenty to do. They don't, you know, need more work heaped upon them. Was that a fairly straightforward process? Was that easy? You know, is there anything for others to worry about there?
Not at all. I think it helps to have some figures ready. So farm business accounts, the more information you have, the more you'll get out of the service. But I found it very straightforward. The online tools are easy to use. I hadn't used them before, but I found them, you know, with the help of Sarah, you know, quite easy to access.
And I'm right in saying, aren't I, that Sarah's involvement, this is all free, is it?
Yes, I hadn't got to pay a penny. So that was another good thing. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so let's move to the benefits that you've seen. So what was the outcome of the meeting and going through the online tools?
Well, in general terms, it made me think more about the future of the farm financially, with the BPS being phased out, and it made me think on how I can change aspects of the farm to make it more sustainable. And I do have a consultant coming around the farm regularly. But it was just handy to have another person with different tools to think about the future fundings in a different kind of way. And it was very beneficial.
Sure. I mean, could you share with us a couple of the ideas that you've had so that others can perhaps get a bit of a context?
The main thrust of it was introducing me to the Sustainable Farming Incentive, the SFI, which I haven't been able to access because I've got a whole farm mid-tier scheme, but the grassland soils standards were very attractive, as well as the arable soil standards. And if they are available after the pilot, if that's what happens, then half of the BPS will be possibly replaced by these two standards of the SFI.
Great. And would it need you to make many changes actually on the farm though to be eligible?
Not really. I think I've got to do more paperwork to make sure that I can prove I'm doing what is necessary. And I think I will have to make a few minor changes. But I was surprised how sustainable the system I've got is. I've stopped ploughing. I slot seed new seeds into the pastures already. And so I didn't think it was going to be too difficult to do.
Excellent. Okay, so what have you been telling your farming friends in between times?
Well, I've been telling them they really ought to do this. There's been so much information about the ELMS scheme but so little detail that I think everybody is sort of blasé about it and not really any the wiser, just burying their head in the sand. So, you know, I've said this is a free review, and what have they got to lose by taking part?
Yeah, and at this stage, you know, doing nothing is not really an option, is it? You know, farmers are best advised to get involved and have a look online, benefit from having the support of people like Sarah, as you did. Is that the general message?
Definitely, yeah, yeah. This isn't going to go away. If you heard George Eustace at the Conservative conference, there's far more changes coming down the line, and we need to be on the ball.
And just as a matter of interest, have any of your farming friends signed up as well?
At least two have. An arable farmer and a beef farmer have signed up. I'm on the board of a farmer cluster group, the local one, and I've talked to a number of them. I've mentioned it to my agronomist, who's passed a few more farmers on to me. So, you know, several have signed up, but there's plenty of potential. I think the aim is thousands of farmers to take part in these consultations.
That's right. I think the aim is, in fact, something like 4,000 farmers ought to be able to benefit from the scheme. And it's very much down to the helpful comments that you've made, Peter, and other people getting involved, which will see this become a success or not. And Peter, just to sort of, to end, what is the key thing that you think that you've got from this?
I think the key thing is confidence for the future. Before this started, I didn't think Elms really was going to do anything different for me. I've got the mid-tier scheme, and I assumed that would roll over in some shape or form into Elms, and the actual farming I do would be completely out of it. I think I didn't know of any sort of standards that would apply to the farming, but we've got the soil standards, but also the animal, the health and welfare standards also, which are not difficult. So yeah, so I've got confidence that it's not all doom and gloom, and there's a road plan going forward after BPS.
Excellent, Peter, thank you very much indeed. That was Peter Shawcross, dairy and arable farmer from Wiltshire. Let's go back to Derek Carlos now. Derek, let's be clear. Let's just talk about the benefits that levy payers get from being involved. Let's highlight the really important things.
Okay, so the first thing, I guess, is it's important to say is that this doesn't cost participating farmers anything at all, other than
their
time. And
there's no catches, is that right? There's no catches to this.
There are no catches at all anywhere along the line. The only thing they need to invest in this is their time. The consultant time is funded entirely by DEFRA, so there's no payment required there for that. So the other benefits that the farmer will get from it is this half-day session, this conversation with the consultant, is an opportunity to try out questions or ideas or thoughts that the farmer might have had previously about changes that they might want to make to the business. It's also an opportunity to ask questions about the performance of the farm in areas that the farmer might not have looked at. And those will be revealed by the data from the performance indicators that are used and what the number is saying about whether the farm is performing well, is performing on average, or in fact, if there's quite a bit of room for improvement in different areas. So the practical outputs from this is an action plan that the farmer can own, can take forward, can use, can apply, and make some genuine changes as a result. Changes that hopefully will mean that the withdrawal of BPS over the next few years won't move the farm into a negative position and leave the farm in a loss-making position once that BPS is completely withdrawn.
So you made a bit of a reference to the online tool. And for some of our listeners, that just might be, oh dear, you know, I've got to go on to the website, and there'll be lots of form filling and lots of palaver. Is the online tool easy to use?
We're assured that it is by those that have used it so far. Yeah, we've taken the time to make sure that we did road test this with farmer users before we launched it in earnest. And we're assured that it is straightforward to use. But But yes, there will be people out there that still won't be overly comfortable with this online process. So if that's the case, then there is a telephone line option that you can use. You can phone in to us and we will support you directly one-to-one without you going online first of all. So it's important not to feel excluded if you're not comfortable with that, with computers or with websites or online form filling.
We'll put the telephone number into the show notes that accompany this podcast. Just to wrap this up then, are you able to share at this stage any examples of the benefits that farmers have received, or have you got any sort of anecdotes and stories to share?
It's very early days for that. The service only started just a few weeks ago. But yes, there are one or two that I can think of where the farmers has taken the time with the consultant to look at the performance of the enterprises on the farm in their own right, which typically they don't do or haven't done over previous years. It's a mixed farm. They look at the performance of the farm just in terms of what the accountant says at the end of each year, once they finish their work and the accountant can show that the farm has made a profit or has made a loss or what have you. But the farmer hasn't taken the time to look at the performance of the crop enterprises as a standalone thing, as opposed to the sheep enterprise in this example. So the consultant took the farmer through that process, and it was quite obvious that the one side of the business was propping up the other. And what that's done is it's left the farmer with a very interesting set of choices in front of them as to whether to invest their time and effort into the enterprise that isn't profitable and to bring that up to a standard where it is contributing positively to the overall profit of the business, or in fact to look at other options such as stopping that enterprise altogether. That then opens up a new set of questions, because ultimately that would lead to the farm not being a mixed farm any longer. It would just be one enterprise on its own. So there are other options then that follow on from that. So if the farm were to become an arable only farm, would the loss of livestock negatively impact the arable side of the business? Or actually, are there options where you could let your grassland out to others to bring their livestock in, which would actually maintain the mixed farm status and the benefits of having livestock on the farm and within the rotation? So that conversation led to a whole series of options and considerations which the farm hadn't really even thought of before. And there are a number of practical steps there for them to look into, ultimately, which should make a difference to the bottom line.
Brilliant. Absolutely excellent. Thanks for that example. So you've said that the cutoff for this opportunity to spend half a day with a consultant free of charge, cutoff for that is February 22. So ideally, people listening to this, what would you like them to do next?
Yes, well, we're set up and up and running now. So I would encourage people to, if they're interested and like the sound of what they've heard today, then I encourage them to contact us as soon as possible. And there are tens of thousands of eligible farm businesses across England for this. We only have a limited number of places available, so I wouldn't leave it until February. If you're in any way interested, I would contact us as soon as you're able to, and we'll be in a position to match you up with a local advisor, and you can crack on with the work straight away.
Derek, thank you very much indeed. It's always a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you very much. So for more information and for the free help that Derek was talking about there, visit farmbusinessreview.ahdb.org.uk. If you've got any comments about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, please get in touch. You can email me, john.bates@ahdb.org.uk. Thank you to my guests, Peter Shawcross and Derek Carlos, and podcast producer Gemma Pamant. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.